Hello and welcome to the Brexit Podcast. I'm your host Anna Fahan, and for today's episode, Tim and I chatted to not just one, but two CEOs. Lucy Rose Walker is the chief exec of free business accelerator Entrepreneurial Spark, while Jim Duffy is its founder and self-proclaimed chief executive optimist. So it's only fitting that we chatted to them about what a government and frankly a population dragged down by the endless stalling and negativity around Brexit can learn from the go-do attitude of entrepreneurs. They also explain how, despite the foggy future, there's absolutely no shortage of foreign startups coming to these shores. Before we get started with the interview, as always, please subscribe to us wherever you're listening to this podcast so you can stay up to date on all our upcoming episodes. And for extra brownie points, how about giving us a quick rate and review as well so that more people can find out about the podcast? We'd really appreciate it. And speaking of appreciation, smooth segue there, you can also show us some love over on brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast.
Warm welcome to Lucy and Jim.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hey folks, thanks for joining us for today's show. Jim, congratulations in order, actually, first of all. New Year's Honours List, you've been awarded an MBE.
It came out the blue, one of these things in life that you just think, wow. I'm really looking forward to going to the palace and picking it all up, and I'm going to take my wee girls down and have a great day.
Are you going to try and sneak a souvenir?
No, but what I am going to do is one of the really interesting things on that day was who else will be there. You know, you could have, and I know you could have Beckham or whatever, but you have all these different people, so it'll be interesting.
Maybe not Beckham.
Yeah.
Now.
Well, Mrs. Beckham, she got an OBE, didn't she?
Absolutely, yeah.
So she could be there the same day as me, and she'll be saying, I can't wait to meet that guy, Jim Duffy.
Exactly. And she's probably thinking that exactly now in a parallel universe.
Yes, same.
The reason we wanted to get you on the show, though, was really bring a bit of positivity to proceedings. Brexit's always been awash with negative comment from both sides. In your work with Entrepreneurial Spark in particular, you've obviously helped businesses go under this line, which was the world's largest free business accelerator. And looking back at sort of your history, which we'll touch on, I think, in the interview, and where does that all that positivity come from then, Jim?
So I think what we did was we took a negative initially in Scotland and turned it into a positive. So the economic agencies and the business support stuff that was on the landscape was all very vanilla, very anodyne. It was a bit ordinary. And we said, no, we have to, if you don't flip this and disrupt this and bring these entrepreneurs into the 21st century, because we saw some of the great stuff that was going on in America. So we went in there and disrupted it. And from that, we knew the pain point existed, because I'd had enough meetings with entrepreneurs and startups that said, we'd love something different. So as soon as we launched it, we launched it the Thursday, and we had 110 applications by the Sunday.
Right, okay.
So from there, a new movement started to rise.
And this was in 2011, is that correct?
Yeah.
So 2011. And in Glasgow as well, you started up a lot of businesses there, which is, you would think from an outsider's point of view, that's a tough market to crack.
Yeah, so I mean, Scotland's got 5 million people, small. Glasgow's maybe got 1 million people in its wider catchment area. But we just knew that there was a market for it. And the interesting thing, now that Lucy Rose is the CEO, is the numbers. Someone said, you'll run out of people within 24 months, and we're still full.
Wow, yeah. Okay.
I think the thing for us was recognising the difference. A lot of acceleration incubators tend to tell you about how to run a business, whereas we recognised actually it was all about the individual. So we took away the physical barriers for people starting a business. So we gave people free space, free Wi-Fi, free desks to run it. And then we realised actually what we need to work on now is the psychological barriers. So when you talk about positive mindset, it was about, you know, reducing fear and increasing confidence. So that was a big thing for us to then develop what we've now coined as our enablement programme, where we support people with.
Okay.
So how does that work exactly? How do
you
try?
If we were to walk in through the door, what would you do?
That's a good question. So if you're coming into the programme, you're essentially being enabled, as we call it. And that's really about being supported and challenged on your journey as an entrepreneur. So you're having one-to-one sessions with our team of enablers in each of the locations that we have. And really, they're going to challenge you on the business, but also on you as to, you know, maybe why haven't you achieved something? Why haven't you been able to do that? Or what's stopping you from doing that? So we don't give people advice and tell them how to run their business, but we talk about being professional question askers. So we'll basically hold up the mirror, and sometimes it can be a bit uncomfortable.
It's designed to be very uncomfortable. Yeah. So we will peg you right away. So initially, from conversations and how you react, we will work out where your emotional intelligence sits, where your self-awareness sits, what type of leader we think you are, how arrogant you are, how wedded to your idea. And the big thing that Lucy has picked up in this and as she's developed the programme is how coachable you are. Entrepreneurs, some don't want to be told what to do, but if you're willing to be coached and willing to move outside your comfort zone, then you can make enablement really works for you.
Yeah.
And in the Brexit environment that we now operate in, are there more entrepreneurs? Were people thinking, crikey, you know, I've got to do something for myself? Or do you find it's more depressed as a landscape?
I would say we're seeing more. We've just increased, we've slightly changed the model, and we've increased our numbers. So previously we'd be working with about 1,000 entrepreneurs in a year. We're now going to be working with over 3,000 entrepreneurs, and we have no lack of demand. So we have about 3 applications for every 1 space that we have.
And the thing is, when you speak to, whether at an idea stage where they have raised 125,000 of seed capital, or whether they're going for the next round, whether they're growing customers or team, no one has ever come in and said, Jim, what is it? It's this Brexit, it's getting me down. They haven't, it's there and it's out there. It's almost like it's the politicians are doing Brexit, but we're just getting on with our lives. And I think at that stage, they just don't see that as a major hurdle.
I think if you did, and if you was kind of compounding your thinking, it's almost a bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy that then you are going to kind of stay small, whereas actually if you still continue to aim big and grow a big business and develop and accelerate, then, you know, that's going to happen regardless of what's going on, you know. You just have to weave your way through it.
Do you think that there's a risk in sort of, because obviously there have not been any direct immediate results of Brexit, apart from maybe the pound falling, that there's a risk in sort of being complacent at the moment and obviously focusing on the business, which is important, but then not getting involved in the policy changes that are about to happen and then potentially having that affect businesses negatively later on?
I think you have to have confidence. We're watching Prime Minister May, and that she's going out, she's met Trump, you know, she's met the Israeli Prime Minister, she's out there, and you've got to trust that the people who are advising her and the business advisors and the spans that she's got have got their ear to the ground and say, look, here's the deal we're looking for. And do you know what? If VAT goes up or taxes go up, entrepreneurs will work it out. Mm-hmm. I think these things will affect, if you're running a £500 million turnover business and 2% of VAT can kill your cash flow, whereas at a smaller level, it just won't have that impact, and they've maybe got time to react more.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So what about the whole, obviously in her 12-point speech that Theresa May recently, she pretty much said that she was going to go for a hard Brexit, meaning no access to the single market. That's not a worry at the moment? Or?
So that's, I just don't think France and Italy and Germany are going to turn around and say, I'm sorry, we're not doing business with you. Our relationships are so deep with them. Even the entrepreneurs, we when we go to Berlin, I mean, will they be talking about Brexit, or will they just be getting on with it?
Yeah, I suppose it's a bit of an unknown. And as you say, you know, do you just accept that and, you know, carry on? But you could always be what-ifing forevermore, and it was kind of getting in the way of doing what you need to do. I think we've had some entrepreneurs who have had surprises along the way. So, you know, they've maybe gone to source fabric or something and suddenly prices have gone up. But they'll just find another way. They'll just find another manufacturer, find another source, you know?
Yeah.
Traditionally for entrepreneurs, nothing's going to stand in their way, and they'll find a way through it.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that just an attribute of the entrepreneurial mindset?
Correct.
And so do you think that the general sort of population, and maybe even government, can learn from that a little bit?
100%.
Is that nature, or can that be nurtured into somebody? What are the key points?
Which we believe it can be nurtured.
Yeah.
We believe that you can teach people to have entrepreneurial traits and entrepreneurial mindsets and behaviours. Some people are just naturally entrepreneurial, maybe the cream at the top of the milk bottle, but we by being around them, it rubs off.
Yeah.
And we say, there's an example of a great entrepreneurial behaviour, a great entrepreneurial mindset, and they can see it, and all of a sudden you see them start to pick up and stuff. So it's definitely teachable.
Okay. Yeah. So one point is to surround yourself with...
Yes.
I guess positive thinking, potentially like-minded people. But if you're not of that mindset at the moment, then you need to look for mentors, I suppose. And what other things can people do?
So they can skill themselves up, and they can teach themselves. They've got to use Google. They've got to. The other thing is thinking bigger. And one of the huge things that we see, and we've just written our book comes out. The Entrepreneurial Spark book comes out in May. It's called Go Do, and it's all about helping people to think bigger. And have that confidence to not be constrained by how you were nurtured or what's in your DNA or your parents' fears or how your teachers taught you. There's so much more out there if you're willing to just jump off the cliff a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's essentially having what we talk about as a growth mindset versus a fixed mindset. So essentially it's that ability to say, well, I don't yet know how to do that, but I'm going to go away and find out how to do it. Whereas if somebody just says, well, I can't do that.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to kind of train yourself into that way of thinking. So a lot of it might be just like surrounding yourself with like-minded people or going on a course that gives you an insight into something slightly different or a different way of looking at things. I think there's so much available to people online or, you know, free events and things that helps them to think in a different way.
Yeah.
And you just almost need that sort of catalyst for change to help you to think about, well, actually, maybe I've been slightly stuck in this way of thinking, and that there is a bigger and better way to think in terms of what you can achieve.
It's amazing to see.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will come into the Entrepreneurial Spark Hubs, and within 3 months they're off and running. Others will maybe take them 12 months.
Yeah.
But once you unlock something, and all of a sudden there's a believability.
Yeah.
And they feel that they're credible, and they can go out there and have meaningful conversations, and it's pretty interesting to watch.
Can you give an example of what maybe a big surprise where someone's walked in the door and you've thought, bad idea, kind of character's a bit suspect, and
ooh,
actually it's been turned
around.
We don't have to name names, but
we have the idea one. Do you want to tell the beer? So we had the. He's not. I wouldn't say a suspect character, albeit I would say, so there's two. There's one stood up recently at an event that we had, and it was an awards event at the end of the six-month programme, and he openly stood up at that event. They put it on Facebook Live, and I watched it in Newcastle, and he said, I came in and I was pretty arrogant, and I didn't want to listen, I didn't want to take feedback, you know, he said, but you guys persevered, and you know, I came and I listened to it all, and now I have absolutely accelerated my business. So he could recognize that change in himself and was able to stand up and talk about it. Another business example that we have is a guy.
What was the line of work for that particular guy?
So I think, I'm not entirely sure, I think he was cleaning businesses.
Okay.
So we have all sectors. So we have, that's the interesting thing, is we bring in people who can be from retail, services, med tech, anything at all. The other one that we had was a company or a guy that came in, and he had it was an okay idea, but it was kind of a bit like a Groupon type concept. It was about 3 years ago. And we kind of knew at the time there was nothing there, but we absolutely believed in him. So it was really about how do we help him find something that he loves. And it was Jim at the time who challenged him and said, is this really what you want to do? Is there anything in this? Go away and find out what you love. And he went away for a couple of weeks and came back, and he said, it was craft beer. I love craft beer. And he's now created one of the biggest subscription online craft beer companies in the UK.
Beer 52. He's raised over £2 million. He's got 10,000 plus subscribers. He's doing amazing. And it was just that moment of, don't try and be a tech entrepreneur, go and be what you want to be. You've
got to be passionate about it.
Mm.
You absolutely do.
And chat over a pint.
Yeah. It was him and his dad. And his crowdfunding video was them, you know, going off and travelling and tasting all the different craft beers and things. Yeah. You've got to really have that drive and determination, because it is such hard work.
Yeah.
Jim, I wanted to ask you what got you into this in the first place. Interesting past. You were cabin steward with British Airways, yes. 11 years with the Strathclyde Police.
Yes.
Tell us. Well, shouldn't have been, but it was. I guess why, and what did you learn from that? So why are you the expert these days?
You're pushed into careers, perhaps, that you shouldn't have been in. So my mum and dad were quite happy. I liked the cabin crew idea. I was a bit wacky then, but and it was actually great. It was the halcyon days of British Airways, 747s out of Heathrow, and Lord King was the, and Colin Marshall were the boss. It was fantastic. But then it was like, go and join the police and have a job for life. A 30-year pension job for life. I don't know if it's the same anymore. But they should have known that with my temperament and my character, I don't like anyone telling me what to do, so I should never have been a police officer. And I remember saying, well, this is one of the most difficult probationers we've ever had, because I was always questioning things. There was just a moment of clarity, and I was in the golf planning team for the 2004 Troon Open, and my job was Tiger Woods security with Special Branch, and his three helicopters and where he would live at night and all that sort of stuff. And 3 months into that, I realised I'm spending my whole life planning this billionaire's lifestyle. And I more or less walked out to great disdain. And I went away and I just then built some businesses, managed to sell them, and then went to educate myself over at Babson College in America. And I also took off from there.
Wow. Yeah. Interesting. And Tiger Woods security team as well.
My lips are sealed.
Yeah, I'll dig a little bit more on that one.
A quick question about you going over to America, actually. I'm quite curious. There must have been quite a lot of people from different backgrounds there, right?
Yeah.
Do you think there's anything added by having so many people from different cultures come together? Do you have more of a sort of creative, innovative environment?
I think one of the big things there is what I saw was that it just opened up my mind. It's almost like I'd been asleep. And there's just this, they call it the can-do attitude, and it's just, there's just something crazy and positive about the Americans. I never heard them moan. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was the circles I moved in, but it was just what can we do? Why can't we do this?
And so this was at Babson College in Boston, yeah. Right? Which is a leading entrepreneur centre. Yeah.
We went back. We've been a few times actually now, just in terms of taking our team and some of the entrepreneurs that we've worked with and learn a lot from that, and then being able to bring it back and make it relevant in the UK.
When you look at the hot potato topic of migration then, mm-hmm. with Brexit, mm-hmm. does that fill you, given multicultural you think is a big asset for opening minds, and does it sort of fill you with dread sometimes the way that's been addressed?
Dread?
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand how you can build a wall, because if you build a wall, people will just work out how to get around the wall. I mean, America's just not set up like that. Mm-hmm. It's just not set up like that. And I think the American will of the people and their culture will win through in this one. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
It's certainly dividing the country in two.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they say what happens in America often translates over to the UK at some point. So what have you got, like, kind of a solution currently to where we should be once we leave the EU with regards to migration?
I think we've got to be completely open-minded.
Yeah.
Right. It would be great. So I listen to talk radio and I read the newspapers, and there's lots of reasons why we should and shouldn't do this and the next thing. But I think I'm going to say what's good for business. So what's good for making sure that we're always growing and we're always having an economic output, and we're always doing... So what's good for that is good for Britain, and then it's good for prosperity of the country.
Yeah, yeah. So business first.
Yeah, one of the things we're linked to is a programme called Sirius in the UK, which is encouraging people to come from overseas into work and the start businesses in the UK.
Okay.
So we've got about 20 of them arriving this year, and people have applied from all over the world to come, and they've been given visas to come and work here. So we really encourage that. And interestingly, we had one of our first days boot camp yesterday in a number of locations across the UK, but the Edinburgh team particularly commented to me the diversity. So we had a couple of people from Poland, Russia, America, Australia, who were all starting out businesses.
And how's that funded, Lucy?
how they fund it. It's up to the entrepreneur how they choose to fund their own.
No, how Sirius funded
it? Oh, Sirius is funded, and so that's been a collective between the UK government, and then we're working with Royal Bank of Scotland, our partners as well, to help support these people come into the UK.
And what sort of, from the boot camp yesterday, you said, what sort of businesses, business ideas are people coming up with?
Honestly, we have absolutely everything. And what I think is really interesting is, because we now have 12 locations across the UK, you will see exactly the same idea from hub to hub. So you might go into the hub in Glasgow and you might see exactly the same idea down in Brighton. So we have a lot of food and drink businesses. There is people doing, we've got a company making whiskey frames, we've got people doing medtech, we just have a whole range of different companies across the country because we're non-sector specific.
And people aren't put off, because you'd think somebody looking at it from an uncertain situation with Britain going forward, and you might not even have a right to stay here, why would you come to this country and start up a business there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's a good point, but I think that the opportunity is there right now. So they're being offered this chance to come here and seize it. So, you know, again, it would be, you can predict what the future might hold and say, well, I'm just going to sit home then and just wait and see. Whereas actually they're saying, let's just give it a go. And if maybe in a few years it turns out different, then we'll have to change the shape of our future.
I don't think Prime Minister May just now, I don't think she's saying we could be closed for business. Mm-hmm. I think the message she's putting out is we're open for business for those of you who want to come and do business or create businesses.
Yeah.
And that's positive.
And let's talk about Scotland. What should happen there? What are your views?
I mean, Scotland's, I've grown up, I'm Scottish. Mm-hmm. Part of me is Scottish, part of me is Irish, but I class myself as a UK citizen. I'm going to use the cliche of class myself as a global citizen, because there's just so much going on. Would I love to see Scotland independent? My question would be this to those who run Scotland. Okay, if you want independence, just show me the business plan. How are we going to pay for it? Because I think we're trillions in debt at the moment. Just show me the business plan and let me know. Let me read your business plan, because we can't do oil anymore because oil didn't really work, did it? The last business plan was based on oil. Show me that, and if I feel that as an entrepreneur we can work with something and there's a break even at some point in the future where Scotland can do it, then I'll look at it.
Okay. So if I was putting you in charge of Scotland right now, is that a business plan that you would want to tackle?
I'm an entrepreneur, I'm not a politician. Don't mention Donald Trump.
So I think independence is it's not something you'd want to see straight away, certainly. You want it to be justified. It makes sense.
I think
always going back to business.
Yeah, exactly. You have to be able to justify why you want to be able to do something. And, you know, is it best? We will always think about, is that right for the entrepreneur? Is it best for the entrepreneur? And right now, I don't think there's enough evidence on the table to say that it is.
But show us the evidence.
Correct.
I think we're virtually there. Thanks, guys, for coming and having a chat to us today. I guess we often ask whether people are optimistic for the future, and I'm guessing with you two, you're probably more optimistic than most.
Yeah, very much so, definitely.
And some big plans for Entrepreneurial Spark?
Yeah, we've just created, as I say, the new model. We'll be working with over 3,000 people going into this year. And we're also looking into supporting people virtually. So we've got our physical locations, but also being able to help people over kind of a medium of Skype and things like that. So, yes, for us, the future is very bright.
Thank you.
I think also, this is the last one that we're opening is the biggest statement, because it's London this summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
And it's the biggest space. It's going to be jam packed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be great. Really good.
And just get along to the website if people want to.
Yeah.
Be involved.
Entrepreneurialspark.com, and you can apply online.
Yeah. Oh, before we go, actually, I wanted to ask Jim about his big issue selling.
Yes, that was fantastic.
Yeah. So talk us through that a little bit. What were you doing there?
So it was they were looking for CEOs to come and spend the morning and sell a big issue, and it's one of the it's because you've got that drive in you and people are going to buy you, and when someone, when you make a sale and someone buys, it's so humbling when someone buys it, because they don't know who you are. They just think, they don't know, they think you're homeless.
Yeah.
And they talk to you and then they want to give you a pound. It is phenomenal. And versus the people that walk by you, because you're not technically chugging, you don't feel like a chugger, you feel like you're doing something of value. But I'll never ever now walk by anyone selling the big issue and not give them the £2.50, the £3.50, because it's, because what they're doing is, actually to stand up there for 3 hours in the freezing cold with the wind and the rain and sell that to make a pound off each one is, I found it really impressive.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, yeah, it's kind of impressive business model, and it's good. Everyone go out and buy the big issue. Lucy and Jim, thanks ever so much for being our guests today, and all the best for the future.
As always, thanks for listening, and if you enjoy the show, please subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at brexitpodcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming and Warren Paul, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin MacLeod.